Thank you.
Thank you. So is it strange to take these songs that you have, you know, worked these long months or years building into these big sounding epic rock tunes and sort of stripping them back to the studs into this very Indigo Girls kind of format?
I mean, it's just a different expression and a life of the song. I'm thankful that it can live both ways.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm so enamored of playing with the band and hearing the songs fleshed out. But it's a little bit of a privilege to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But I do, when I strip the songs down like this, I get at the hearts of the songs and why I wrote them and feel very connected to them in that way. And
Is this how you built these songs? Did they start?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that one, just written just like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm always
that
asking
tuning.
Musicians about whether their songs are, they know they have a great song when it can be played just on an acoustic guitar and a voice, and if that is sort of the mark of, you know, you have a song that will last in any format.
Well, it's interesting because Lyris and I, we talked about this as well, because I was feeling shaky about songs that I didn't see how I could possibly play them with just a single guitar and a voice, especially since there's not guitar all through the tracks, you know. But she said, have faith. And so there is a way to find out how to play a song, but I actually really had to adjust internally to not being able to just strum and play, accompany myself fully like a folk song, because most of the songs on this record are not folk songs at all.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, honestly a real adjustment for me and still is, but it's good. Like, I enjoy it. And well, hopefully Lyris says that people like to hear songs in different incarnations.
I think that's right.
And
yeah.
So thank you, Lyris.
Well, we do that a lot here. Where, you know, we often ask artists who come to play in our studio to play in a format that might be not, you know, how they are used to playing the song or how their fans are used to hearing the songs.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, in your case, I wonder, you know, was there nervousness as you went on tour behind this album? You know, a lot of the people coming are your fans from many, many years, and they have a certain conception of what you sound like, what your music sounds like. You know, was there any trepidation that they might not go down this road with you?
There was at first, but you know, as we got into rehearsals, first of all, I really loved the record, and so I felt good about that. But it wasn't like I was at the point where I could say, well, I don't care what anybody thinks about it because I love it.
Yeah,
I'm never really like that. But as we got into it, and first we got into rehearsals, and we were in this cramped little room, and it was just acoustic. There's nothing worse than a drum trap set just in a small acoustic, you know. Sounds like crap. And it was not because of the drummer, but just because of that. And I was like, oh my gosh, the songs aren't coming to life. You know, I burned up a lot of energy with a little bit of anxiety about how it was going to come across. But then when the band was, we were plugged in and we had the sound adjusted correctly, the album just started to live through the songs and the live performances. And from that point on, I was so in the songs and so grateful to be playing with a band that I really stopped thinking about anything else besides that. And then it followed that people really hooked into the performances, and the crowds were small but mighty.
Yeah.
And I can feel that they're hooking into the music, and I certainly am.
Yeah. And so now at this point, you know, I mean, the Indigo Girls are still going. Live and well.
Yep.
And there are records being made and coming out.
Yep.
Although I think in a slightly different format, even for you guys, there's an orchestral record that you're working on.
Yep.
But my question was, you know, now that you have sort of tasted this other side of the way to make music, and you're obviously so engaged with live band and this kind of sound, can you let it go? I mean, do you want to keep making these records?
I can't let it go completely, but I think it may be a song by song thing. Maybe, I don't know. I'm just interested in continuing to create songs and seeing how they end up being produced. In some ways, I don't want to just go back to what's the easiest thing for me, which is playing an acoustic guitar through the body of a song.
Yeah.
That's the heart and soul of what I've always done. And so I'm enjoying this really fleshing out, and I really am enjoying playing to a beat, you know, because it makes me want to move. And I don't know why that kind of music just makes me feel things more deeply for myself. But you know, I've learned not at this point in life, just really not to sweat the future anymore, especially after this big learning experience. But I know one thing, I'm inspired and I'm excited to write. Amy and I are going to write a new Indigo Girls album, and I'm already excited to write new solo stuff. So, you know, at this point in life, if you've been doing it 35 years and to still feel inspired is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And you, can you see this kind of sound or your new, this sort of inspiration making it in any way, filtering in any way into future Indigo Girls, you know, records?
I think it, I can't help but think about the way that things might be fleshed out in a certain way or not. In the studio, Amy and I have veto power over our own songs. Mm-hmm. So if Amy writes a song and she wants to go a certain direction that may be even more Americana or classic country like what she's been working on, then we do that. And if I want to flesh out a rhythmic part, add a beat or, you know, a loop or whatever, then I can do that. We don't censor each other. We enjoy each other's expression and creative freedom. So I think the sky's the limit, really. But it will be interesting to see, you know, having had this experience in the studio, what that will feel like through the lens of the Indigo Girls.
Yeah, how it rubs off.
Yeah. Totally. That remains to be seen.
Yeah. So you're going to do one more for us today, yeah. From Murmuration Nation. Tell me a little bit about this last song.
This last song is, I don't know where it came from. It's called Train Inside.
I thought this was going to be a happy one.
I'm not happy. I don't write anything happy. A lot of the happier ones, or at least the ones that have a lot of the more upbeat vibe, I just don't feel like playing them on acoustic guitar today. So I just stuck to the ones that I can totally play through.
Well, it seems like maybe if there's a song called Sad One, that it has this kind of sibling song somewhere called Happy One, just for balance.
Happy songs are boring.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, we're just going to stick with really depressing music. And I'm going to tune my guitar.
It's a gorgeous guitar, by the way. What's
Thanks.
The? It looks like something you've maybe been playing for years.
This is the first guitar that Amy and I bought when we got signed to Epic Records back in 1988. We both went to Matt Umanoff in New York.
Uh-huh.
And we picked out a guitar, and she got a black one just like this one, and I got the blonde one, which is fitting.
And that is the guitar.
And this is the guitar.
It's a 30-year-old. Was it brand new at that time?
It was brand new. It's got all kinds of scratches, and just a couple of months ago, it got wet in the case somehow, and then paper stuck to it. So it's got like all kinds of stuff that's...
All things considered, it looks like it's in great shape.
And you become very attached to them. They seem to be living, breathing things. So here's this song called Train Inside that's started as a feeling and then evolved into a song.